This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Thursday, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. December wheat trading at 862¾, up 6½. March wheat trading at 874½, up 5¾. December corn trading at 751¾, up 6¼. March corn trading at 751, up 6¼. November soybeans now trading at 1526¾, up 17½. January beans trading at 1526¾, up 18½. The overnight crude oil market, 11 cents lower at 92.48. The Brent crude, a nickel higher at 113.27. The December gold contract, $5.50 lower at $1,747.50. The U.S. dollar index, 0.061 higher at 79.077. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 856¼, up 8½. March wheat ended at 868¾, up 8½. May wheat ended at 871¾, up 7¾. December corn yesterday, 745½, up 7¼. March corn ended at 744¾, up 6½. May corn ended at 739¼, up 6½. November soybeans yesterday ended at 1509¼, up 15½. January beans ended at 1508¼, up 15½. March beans ended at 1484¼, up 15½. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 454.70, up 19. January meal ended at 449.10, up a quarter. March meal ended at 438.40, up a quarter. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 51.03, up 56. January oil ended at 51.42, up 57. March oil ended at 51.91, up 57. And December oats yesterday, 395¾, up 3¼. March oats ended at 398½, up 4¾. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain recap.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. Soybean futures were supported by a strong cash market and good export interest, while corn futures moved up due to stronger soybean values and the lower value of the U.S. dollar. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 8 cents stronger at 722 to 740, and soybean bids were up 15 to 18 cents at 1479 to 1487. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 7 cents higher at 734 to 752, and soybean bids were up 15 to 16 cents at 1491 to 1504. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained 7 to 8 cents at 739 to 758. Soybeans advanced mostly 10 to 15 cents at $14.84 to $15, and wheat bids up 12 to 13 cents at $8.23 to $8.41. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were up 15 cents, ranging from $15.14 to $15.24. Basis ended steady at 5 to 15 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $1.90 to $2.90 per ton, with bids ranging from $4.65.70 to $4.77.70. Illinois corn cash corn processor bids up 7 cents at $7.51 to $7.61, with basis ending steady at 5 to 15 over December. And dried distiller grains offered steady today, ranging from $2.65 to $2.95 per ton. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 9 cents stronger at 737 to 739, with basis 2 cents stronger at 8 to 6 under December. Soybean bids were up 17 to 18 cents at 1504 to 1507, with basis 2 to 3 cents better at 5 to 2 under November. Wheat bids for July 13 delivery 4 cents stronger today, ranging from 803 to 807, with basis steady at 34 to 30 under July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids 6 to 22 cents stronger at 730 to 742. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 14 to 18 cents with quotations at 1513 to 1527. Soft red winter wheat gained 11 cents at 838 to 839, and the Milo 7 cents higher at 714 to 715. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Corn bids for January delivery range from 723 to 744. Soybean bids range from $14.77 to $15 even. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 739 to 761. January soybean bids at 1502 to 1516. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 754 to 772, January soybean bids at 1493 to 1523, and the wheat bids for July 13 delivery, those range from 781 to 811. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 79.17, up 57. February hogs ended at 84.97, up 55. April hogs ended at $90, up a nickel. October cattle yesterday, 126.12, up 57. December cattle, 127.60, up 92. February cattle, 131.12, up 70. October feeder cattle yesterday ended at 146.95, up 85. November feeders, 149.27, up 155. January feeders, 150.72, up 112. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with the closing livestock report. On the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hog report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis ended 51 cents higher. Base price range of $79.01 to $83. A weighted average of $80.63. The Illinois direct barrel and gilt market was steady to a dollar higher at $56 to $60. Receipts in Illinois, 13,091 head. Illinois direct slaughter sows traded mostly $1 to $2 higher. Sows under 400 pounds, 35 to 40. 4 to 500 pounds, 37 to 44. Over 500 pounds, 41 to 46, with a few up to $50. Estimated sow receipts today, 950 head. In the USDA National Carlisle Pork Report, trading was light with light to moderate demand and offerings. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 92 cents higher at 88.71. The estimated daily hog slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday was 431,000. That's up 5,000 from a week ago and 6,000 from a year ago. Week-to-date total, 1,300,000. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday, 123,000. 4,000, that's down 4,000 from a week ago and 7,000 from a year ago. Week-to-date total, 376,000. The USDA estimated boxed beef cutout values were steady to firm on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Choice carcasses were 61 cents higher at 195.71, while select was up 20 at 180.75, making the choice select spread at 14.96. There were 150 fab loads today and 65 trim loads. On Tuesday at the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville, the receipts of 401 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers sold steady to 50 cents higher. Slaughter Holstein steers $1 higher. Slaughter cows unevenly steady. Slaughter bulls sold $2 higher. Choice slaughter steers 119 to 125. Select and choice 114 to 119. Choice Holstein steers 110.25 to 115.75. Choice slaughter heifers at 119 to 122. Select and choice heifers 115.25 to 119. Breaker slaughter cows 80.50 to 83.50. Boners 77.50 to 82.50. Lean slaughter cows 65.50 to 72.50. Yield grade 1 slaughter bulls at $82.50 to $90.50. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 3 to 400 pounds, 133 to 144. 4 to 500 pounds, 125 to 132. 5 to 600 pounds at 126 to 138. The opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction had estimated receipts of 332 head. Compared to last week, steers and heifers on slaughter steers and heifers were $1 to $2 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers $1 higher. Choice slaughter steers 119 to 123. Select and choice steers 114 to 117.50. Choice Holstein steers 110 to 113. Choice slaughter heifers at 119 to 123.50. Select and choice 115 to 118. At the Fairview sale barn yesterday, they had receipts of 448 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold steady to a dollar higher. Slaughter cows and bulls were steady. Choice slaughter steers 120 to 126. Choice Holsteins at 104 to 110.25. Choice slaughter heifers 119.25 to 125.75. Breaker slaughter cows $80 to $85. Boners at $70 to $75. Lean slaughter cows $63 to $68. Yield grade 1 slaughter bulls $79.25 to $78. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 187 and one half unchanged; for block cheese, 201 unchanged; for barrel cheese, 192 and three quarter down 4 1/4. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, 21.05. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.29. For November, $7.31. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.29. And for November, $7.31. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $14.95. For November, $15.16. And wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $8.05. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again: corn at Greenfield, $7.29. Corn at Scottville, $7.29. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.95. Wheat at Scottville, $8.05. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Now is a good time to get your lawn ready for the winter. FS offers an application for broad leaf control with fertilizer in October for a fall weed and feed to control any fall dandelions, wild violet, and chickweed. To get your lawn ready for winter, they offer a late fall fertilizer spread in November. This application will help store food for your lawn through the winter months and will help give you that early green up in the spring. For a free estimate, call Tim Rothy with Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS at 1-800-962-7331. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS is a service of M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Cloudy skies later on today, high temperatures in the low 60s. We will have southwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, cloudy skies with showers likely, low temperatures in the low 40s. And for tomorrow, Friday, cloudy skies with a chance of a shower, the high in the mid 50s. And your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy skies and warmer, low temperatures in the upper 50s, highs in the low 70s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 9 miles per hour. The barometric pressure steady. Our temperature, 47 degrees. Over the past 24 hours, WSMI Weather Watcher, the Lang family of Caulfield, a half inch of rain, a half inch recorded by Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville, 3/10 of an inch recorded by Kyle Schmedeke of Irving, 2/10 of an inch here at the Weather Center, and once again, 47 degrees. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Seavers Equipment, of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. And in our farm news this morning, here's the weekly crop condition report. We join David Ward of the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Cooler temperatures and scattered showers continued across the state for the week. Temperatures averaged 50.7 degrees, which was 5.2 degrees below normal. Precipitation for the week averaged 1.13 inches. And topsoil moisture supplies are currently being reported at 12% very short, 23% short, 61% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile came in at 30% very short, 43% short, 26% adequate, and 1% surplus. There were a total of 5.1 days suitable for field work. Corn harvest advanced by 7 percentage points to 87% complete. This compares to only 60% last year, and 53% for the 5-year average. Soybean harvest finished the week at 69% complete, compared to 66% a year ago, and 60% for the 5-year average. In other crops around the state, pasture conditions were rated at 29% in very poor to poor condition, 37% in fair condition, and 34% in good to very good condition. Sorghum harvest is now 57% complete, compared to 58% 1 year ago, and 50% for the 5-year average. Fall seeding of winter wheat advanced to 46% planted, which compares to 57% 1 year ago, and 48% for the 5-year average. 11% of the wheat crop is now being reported as emerged. This has been David Ward with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the soybean markets, and he commented on when they might rally.
Well, unfortunately, it may be in the last half of the marketing year if we don't recognize, if fund managers don't recognize what we're dealing with. China will get all the soybeans at once if prices stay at these levels, and that will leave domestic crushers short. Who will pay the price then? The U.S. livestock producer will pay the price.
Boy, and that's going to be a high price to pay, too.
Exactly right. And the only other option will be to import soybeans from Brazil to keep U.S. processors moving so they can meet that protein need for feed rations. That will come at quite a price, and there's some significant doubt whether Brazil will be able to push enough soybeans through its infrastructure, through its ports, to meet the world demand plus U.S. demand.
And that because their infrastructure down there is 75 to 100 years behind what we have here, isn't it?
Absolutely, and we would argue maybe ours is behind where it should be as well. And I think we saw this play out this year with Brazil trying to keep up with both soybean and corn exports. And next year it's going to be an even greater demand on that capacity. They've committed equivalent of like $57 billion to upgrading their infrastructure in a five-year plan. That's a five-year plan. That won't be in place by next spring.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Parts of the Corn Belt, despite recent rains, have remained dry. Todd Gleason reports it has farmers concerned as they look forward to next year's crop and how to apply nitrogen this fall.
The soil fertility specialist at Illinois says while it takes moisture to lock up anhydrous ammonia in soils, it doesn't take much. There's probably enough wetness, even in very dry soil, to do the job. The problem is related to the knife track. Fabian Fernandez says it might not close up and simply leave an easy way for the nitrogen to escape into the atmosphere.
The concern I have is more related to the dry conditions and what occurs in the soil surface in terms of the physical properties of the soil, how that soil breaks, if there are big boulders or big clots of soil as we go through with the application. We create big conduits of channels, basically, that will allow that ammonia to escape to the surface. That's really the problem. It's not so much that whether there is enough moisture to react with the ammonia.
Common sense says you can chase the soil moisture deeper into the profile. So why not just put the knife down 8 inches instead of 4 to 6? Mind you, it doesn't do any good if the crack follows the track that deep.
The problem with that, though, is the following spring, we are applying nitrogen so that it will be available for the corn crop. And the deeper you go, the longer it will take for that corn plant to reach that nitrogen band in the following year. And so if you're applying deeper, you need to be aware of that. I normally recommend not going deeper than about 8 inches. If you go deeper than 8 inches, it's going to be too deep. It will take a while. It will be sometime in June, probably, before the plants really reach that band of fertilizer. So if you are going deeper than 8 inches, I would recommend that you cut that rate and apply part of that nitrogen in the spring on the surface so that you provide nitrogen to that small root system.
There is a pretty simple test to see if the ammonia is escaping. Make a pass, wait an hour, and come back.
You know, certainly if you're still smelling ammonia after an hour or longer, you know that you're losing ammonia at that point and that it should be better to wait.
Fernandez has another bit of advice as it relates to anhydrous ammonia applications. It is okay to shallow till at the time of application, but not deep till. He suggests waiting 5 to 8 days. Even then, he says it would be good to make a pass and do the smell test. If it smells like ammonia, just pull out of the field. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The dry conditions in many parts of the country have impacted farmers in a variety of ways. According to Pork Checkoff Animal Science Director Dr. Chris Hostetler, water issues are emerging. In many areas, wells are going dry and producers are switching over to the rural water system.
Or vice versa. You know, there is a limitation on the amount of water. There may be limitations on the amount of water from a rural water source that camp producers would have available to them. And so they may have to switch over to well water to supply water to their animals.
And if water resources are limited, Dr. Hostetler encourages pork producers to take action.
Whether that's being more conservative and washing down facilities, making sure that nipple waters are not leaking, any of those management type of practices that are, in general, good management practices anyways, but now would be a time when it would be extremely important for producers to be able to enact those measures and reduce the amount of water that they use on their facility.
And for more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to www.pork.org. On the AM Live program Monday, our guest was Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. We talked about how the equipment of the trucking industry has improved over the years.
The equipment is by far, in a way, the greatest advances you've seen is the equipment that's put in place in the last last 6 or 7 years. What we're seeing is trucks, not that literally drive themselves, but are engineered to the point where, you know, they produce 95% less emissions than they did 10 years ago. You know, people used to sit there, remember the trucks going down the road and the smoke coming out of the smokestack. You don't see that anymore. You know, you don't see that. There's exhaust systems now that basically the exhaust system in a diesel-powered truck is very much like the exhaust system you see at a power plant. They have scrubbers on them. They scrub the exhaust before it comes out the tailpipe, and basically what's coming out of the tailpipe many times is water vapor.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very efficient, and it's very clean.
And fuel mileage is better than it used to be?
I was just going to say, you know, fuel mileage, you're lucky to get 4 or 5 miles to the gallon on a truck. 7, 8 are not out of the question now, and the trucks even have a goal of even getting higher fuel mileage in the next, I think, by 2020. And on top of that, they're exploring alternative fuel sources. We've had the opportunity. I drove a semi a couple weeks ago that runs on compressed natural gas, and it's totally CNG. The big challenge there is to be able to have places to refuel your truck. You know, because there's only so many places to refuel on CNG, but the network is being developed, and it's being developed along the interstates. The truck I drove, Freightliner, set up so that it can go about 300 miles in between refueling. And it's a great truck that can be used if you're running on a local run, that you're going back and forth to your local terminal every day.
Like hauling grain around here.
Sure. And it's a very clean burning truck. It has the same horsepower, the same get up and go that any other truck has, and it's very I was really surprised when I drove it. But you've got that now in, you know, local vehicles. Local buses are running on CNG. But you've got a big group that's really starting to push this because of the fact that there is abundant natural gas out there.
And that was Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. This evening, an open house will be held for a new 2,480-head wean-to-finish hog unit at the Klaus Farm north of Carlinville. A ribbon cutting will be held at 4:30, and the Illinois pork producers will provide chops and burgers and all the fixings. Tours will be available for the facility before hogs are housed, and the public is invited to attend. In some other farm news, California Representative Henry Waxman has announced a bill that seeks to create reporting requirements on antibiotics given to U.S. livestock. His measure would mandate disclosure about the types, purposes, and quantities of antibiotics given to farm animals. He says reliable information about the use of antibiotics in agricultural operations is needed. Having this information, according to Waxman, will help scientists and Congress stop the spread of drug-resistant infections from farm animals to humans. RCAF USA is criticizing the Tyson Farm Check program. Tyson's program will include animal welfare audits of beef, pork, and poultry farms that supply animals to its plants. RCAF says the plan exemplifies supply chain control found only in monopolistic markets. According to RCAF CEO Bill Bullard, the program is nothing but a means by which the megacorporation can exert its muscle to violate the privacy of hardworking independent family farm and ranch cattle producers, extract from those independent family cattle producers valuable marketing information at no cost, and then charge consumers a premium price for that information. It has extracted for free. RCAF believes Tyson should offer a premium to family farmers and ranchers who wish to participate if the company wants this valuable marketing information. RCAF is going to ask the United States Department of Agriculture and the Justice Department to investigate the program to determine if it violates U.S. antitrust laws and the Packers and Stockyards Act by eliminating choices and competition for independent U.S. farmers and ranchers. The Economics Department Chair at the University of North Dakota says the voters who place a high priority on agricultural policy and rural issues have been largely invisible in the presidential campaigns. Speaking on AgriTalk Radio this week, Dr. David Flynn said we're hearing far too little about the issues affecting agriculture and rural economies. While these issues are critically important to the entire country, he said they're being overlooked as both campaigns focus on regions and demographics where they believe the most votes are up for grabs. Flynn said the candidates tend to focus on the importance of farming and rural life when they visit small towns and state fairs in the middle part of the country, but not on the national stage. He noted campaign literature from both campaigns is dramatically lacking in policy statements on agriculture or rural issues. He believes a candidate should be pointing to agriculture as a success story and looking at how to replicate that performance in other sectors of the economy. And once again, we'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Right now, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat trading at 863, up 6 3/4. March wheat trading at 875 1/4, up 6 1/2. December corn trading at 751 1/2, up 6. March corn trading at 750 3/4, up 6. November soybeans trading at 1525 3/4, up 16 1/2. January beans trading at 1525, up 16 3/4. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.